If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some hauntings don't begin with death. Some begin with childhood, and for her, it started when she was four. The house was new, fresh paint, clean walls, a bedroom all her own. A bright beginning for a young girl who couldn't have known how quickly the night would change it. She remembers lying in bed, surrounded by toys, the smell of new carpet in the air. It was the kind of room a child should have felt safe in. But the first night, the bed shook. It wasn't violent, just enough to rattle her awake. She sat up, blinking into the darkness, her tiny heart pounding. Then, as quickly as it started, it stopped. A dream, she told herself. Just a dream. Except it kept happening. Night after night, she'd wake to the same trembling mattress, as if something unseen had crawled beneath it or was gripping the frame with invisible hands. Sometimes the shaking lasted a few seconds, sometimes longer. She'd sit frozen, waiting for it to end, then pull the blankets over her head and will herself back to sleep. But the house had other ways of making itself known. From her room above the garage, she'd hear it. The heavy slam of the door that led to the garage below. It was an unmistakable sound, old wood, misaligned hinges, that deep reverberation that shook the walls, and it always came at the same time, late, after everyone else had gone to bed. At first, she assumed it was her parents, but her father snored downstairs, her mother's door stayed shut, and even as a child, she knew what it sounded like when someone was awake in that house. This wasn't that. No footsteps, no voices, just the door, slamming once, echoing up through the floorboards. It happened so often that it became part of her nights, as familiar as the sound of the crickets outside. Sometimes she'd lie awake waiting for it, holding her breath when it came. She'd whisper quietly to herself, "There it is again." Then turn toward the wall and pretend not to care. Even now, 16 years later, she says it still happens. Not every night, but often enough to remind her that whatever it is, it never left. As she grew, the nights changed. At 11, her dreams began to bleed into something else. It always started the same way. She'd fall asleep in her bed, in whatever position she'd been lying in, only to wake up again. Moments later, still in her room, still in that exact same position, except something in the air had shifted. She wasn't truly awake, but she wasn't asleep either. And then she'd hear him, a man's voice, deep, calm, too old to belong to anyone she knew. Sometimes he'd whisper her name, sometimes just a question. "Hello? Are you there?" At first she ignored it, then one night curiosity won. "Yes," she said quietly, into the darkness, "I'm here." Silence. The voice never came back after that. Not like before, but the dreams, the other kind, had already begun. They started innocently enough. The first one she remembers, she was in her room, but it didn't feel like her room anymore. The air was heavier. A presence hovered there, invisible, but close enough that she could feel it against her skin. She couldn't see it. But she could hear it inside her head, speaking without words. And though she was just 11, what followed wasn't the kind of dream a child should have. She woke ashamed, confused, too young to understand what had happened, too afraid to tell anyone. She convinced herself it was puberty, her imagination, something ordinary. But the dreams kept coming. They were spaced out, sometimes weeks apart, sometimes months, but always the same. The same room, the same unseen being, the same intimate, disorienting contact. And always, when she reached out, she could feel it. An arm, a hand, the faint outline of a body that shouldn't have been there. She begged once, desperate to know what it was. "Let me see your face," she whispered. But the voice answered, calm and absolute. "No, you mustn't look." Even then, she didn't think of it as paranormal. She didn't know what an incubus was. To her, it was just a strange pattern of dreams she couldn't explain. And so she lived with it. When she was 17, everything stopped. Pregnancy changed everything. The dreams vanished overnight. The voice disappeared. For years, she slept without fear, without waking to unseen hands or whispered names. For a while, she even forgot about it. Then, 16 years later, it returned. At first, she thought it was coincidence. She'd been experimenting again with things she hadn't touched since childhood. Ouija boards, makeshift spirit circles drawn on paper just for fun. She didn't believe in them anymore, not really. She was older now, rational. So one night she wrote out the alphabet, the numbers, and asked the empty room a simple question. "Is anyone there?" The planchette moved. At first she laughed, assuming it was her subconscious, tiny, involuntary movements. The ideomotor effect, but then the letters began to spell. R.C. "Who are you?" she asked. The planchette stilled, then refused to move again. And when nothing else happened, she rolled her eyes, tore the paper in half, and tossed it away. She even joked to herself, "I'll talk to you later." That night, she slept soundly. She had no reason to think she'd just invited something back into her life. A few months passed, then the dreams returned, the first time she was asleep in her boyfriend's room. The night was quiet. She thought she'd woken up still lying on her stomach in the same position she'd fallen asleep in. But she couldn't move, couldn't speak. Then came the wait. At first, she thought it was her boyfriend shifting beside her, until she looked over and saw him on the other side of the bed, facing away, completely still. The pressure on her back grew heavier. Her body began to move, not of her own will. When it stopped, the room was silent again. She sat up gasping, her body trembling, her mind refusing to accept what had just happened. She didn't tell him, she didn't tell anyone, because how do you explain something like that? How do you tell someone you think something invisible climbed into bed with you? The second time it happened, she told herself it was stress. That's what people say when the strange starts creeping back in. You're tired, you're overworked, it's just your mind. But deep down, she knew that wasn't it. It was night again. Same house, same bed, same position, lying on her stomach. When she slipped into sleep, she thought she woke almost instantly, though later she couldn't tell if she'd been awake or dreaming. The whole time, everything looked normal. The glow of the streetlight bleeding through the blinds, the flicker from the muted TV across the room, and then something jumped on her. The bed bowed under the weight, heavy and solid, not the light press of blankets or shifting air, but the full, undeniable weight of a body. She screamed, kicked, shouted, "Get off me, Josh!" But when she looked over, Josh was still asleep, his chest rising and falling, slow and steady, turned away from her. Whatever had been on her back lifted, and the room fell silent again. The next morning, she asked him, "Did you jump on me last night while I was half asleep?" He looked confused. "No, you were out cold." She wanted to believe him. She needed to. But something inside her twisted, because this wasn't a dream. She knew what a dream felt like. The third encounter came weeks later. She had fallen asleep on her side this time. The fan hummed quietly. The air was still. Again, she found herself drifting between sleep and awareness. That same eerie state where the body won't move but the mind won't shut off. And like before, it began with pressure. Something pressed against her back, hard, firm, as if a person were lying directly behind her. She could feel the weight of it, the shape, shoulders, chest, the slow inhale of something breathing. It wasn't violent, but it wasn't gentle either. And again, she thought she was awake. She could hear the television downstairs, the wind rattling a tree branch against the window. Nothing was distorted or dreamlike. Everything was real. Then, just as suddenly as it began, it was gone. She rolled over, staring into the emptiness beside her, trying to convince herself she'd imagined it. When Josh came home later, she asked if he'd come into the room while she was asleep. He shook his head. Didn't even go upstairs. That's when she stopped asking. Because there's a certain point when the truth sounds worse than the lie. The fourth time it came to her house, she was alone that night, and for the first time in years, she was back in her childhood room. The one above the garage, the one where the door still slammed by itself sometimes. She fell asleep easily enough. But somewhere deep in the night, she stirred, half-conscious, her body frozen but her eyes open. The same position. The same stillness. The same air, heavy, familiar. Then from behind her, she felt it. A hand. It touched her hair. Not roughly. Not like a stranger grabbing a fistful, but softly, almost tenderly. The strands lifted and fell between invisible fingers. It twisted a lock, then let it go. Again and again. She whispered into the dark, "Who are you?" The voice came low, distorted, and so close to her ear she could feel the breath that didn't exist. "It is me." That's when she woke. Her heart was pounding so hard she could hear it. The house was silent. She sat there for a long time, staring at the ceiling, trying to decide what she had just heard, because that voice, that phrase, it wasn't new. It was old, familiar. She hadn't realized how much until that moment. The way the air had felt thick around her, the way it had pressed against her back like before, the weight, the stillness, and the name. R.E.C. The next morning, curiosity got the better of her. She didn't plan to do it again, not after everything that had happened. But sometimes the fear of not knowing outweighs the fear of what you might discover. She sat cross-legged on the floor, grabbed a sheet of paper, and drew out the alphabet. Just like she'd done before. Numbers. Yes. No. It wasn't meant to be serious, just a test. When she placed her finger on the glass and asked, "Is anyone there?" The glass moved instantly. "Yes!" Her heart started to race. "What's your name?" she asked. It spelled slowly. R.C. She froze. Her mind raced. It couldn't be the same one. It couldn't. But the more she stared at those two letters, the heavier the air felt. The more the stillness around her started to hum. That subtle, unseen vibration she'd known since childhood. "Are you following me?" she whispered. The glass began to slide again. "Yes." That was all it took. She ripped the paper into pieces, threw it in the trash, her pulse thundering. She didn't close the session. She didn't say goodbye. She didn't even think to. The board, if it could even be called that, was gone. But she knew deep down that whatever had come through wasn't. That was a day ago. She hasn't slept since. She doesn't know what's real anymore, the dreams, the paralysis, the voice that answers when she calls. She doesn't know if R.C. is something human or something that only pretends to be. She only knows one thing. Every time she closes her eyes, she feels it watching. The weight behind her. The whisper that isn't quite in her ear, but somehow inside her head. "It is me." And each time she hears those words, she understands a little more. This isn't random. It never was. It's been with her since the beginning, and whatever it is, it isn't done with her yet. She didn't sleep that night, not because she was afraid of the dark. She'd made peace with that kind of fear years ago, but because she knew what would be waiting for her when she closed her eyes. It wasn't the first time she'd gone through this cycle. The curiosity, the contact, the regret. But this time felt different. Sharper. Closer. Like the line between her and whatever this thing was had thinned to almost nothing. When dawn finally came, the house was still. The air had that morning chill that seeps through walls, and for a moment she thought maybe, just maybe, it was over. But when she looked in the mirror, she saw it. Not a face, not a figure. Just movement, like a shimmer in the reflection, a distortion in the air right behind her shoulder. She turned fast. Nothing there. But her heart dropped. Because that shimmer had pulsed just once in rhythm with her heartbeat, like it was connected. The day passed in a haze. She tried to distract herself, music, chores, long drives, but it all circled back to the same quiet hum of energy under her skin, the same static that always came before the dreams. By nightfall, she was exhausted. Her mind told her it was all coincidence, that the fear was fueling it, but fear wasn't what she felt, as it was recognition. She'd grown up with this thing, from the bed shaking at 4 years old to the voice calling her name to the dreams she couldn't explain. It had never really left. It had just waited. And now that she'd acknowledged it again, it had stepped forward like a shadow remembering its owner. When she finally lay down that night, she didn't pray. She didn't bargain. She just whispered into the dark, "I know you're there." The room went colder. It wasn't sudden, but it was definite. The kind of cold that moves from the air into your bones. The TV, which she'd left on for noise, flickered once and went black. And then she heard it, the slow creak of the floorboards at the foot of her bed. A step, another, and then nothing. She could feel it before she could see it. The faint dip in the mattress, the brush of air near her face, that same old weight. Not crushing this time, not violent. Just present, heavy. "Why me?" she asked quietly. "Why have you followed me all these years?" The answer came, not aloud, but inside her. A thought that wasn't hers. "You asked me to." She froze. Some buried memory stirred, something from long ago. Maybe when she was little, sitting alone in the dark after her parents had gone to bed, whispering to the empty room, "I wish someone would stay with me. I don't want to be alone." Had she done this to herself? The idea hit her like ice, that maybe this wasn't a haunting at all, but a bond. Something she'd created without meaning to. A connection that had grown stronger every time she acknowledged it. Every time she reached for it in fear, in sadness, in loneliness. Maybe it wasn't tormenting her. Maybe it was answering. Days later, she told herself she'd had enough. She needed to know if it was real. She went back to the torn-up scraps of paper in the trash. There were still a few pieces left, enough to piece together the letters and numbers again. Her hands shook as she laid them out on the floor. "R.C.," she said softly. "If you're here, I need you to leave me alone." The air thickened. She felt the vibration before she heard it, the low hum of energy that built slowly, like the static before lightning strikes. Then came the faintest whisper, not from the board, but from the space just above it. "You called me." "I didn't mean to," she said. "You're not supposed to be here." Another pause. Then, "I never left." The words weren't sound, they were understanding, the kind that echoes directly inside your chest. She tore the paper again, scattered the pieces, but this time she didn't feel the release she expected. The air didn't lighten. The hum didn't stop. If anything, it deepened. That's when the house changed. The walls seemed to breathe, expanding and contracting almost imperceptibly. The hum became a rhythm, like a pulse. Her pulse, and for the first time, she realized that maybe this wasn't an entity outside her. It was something tied to her completely. A reflection. A mirror image made of thought and emotion, shaped by years of fear and longing. Maybe it wasn't haunting her. Maybe it was her. In the nights that followed, she stopped trying to fight it. She stopped pretending it wasn't there. When she felt the bed shift, she'd whisper, "I know." When the air grew cold, she'd breathe through it, and slowly, the activity changed. The bed still shook sometimes, but only lightly, almost playfully. The dreams came, but softer. No voices, no pressure. Just that strange awareness that she wasn't alone. And always, just before waking, she'd hear the same words whispered through the veil of sleep. "It is me." She told herself that maybe this wasn't evil. Maybe this was what happens when the energy of a person and the energy of something else intertwine for too long. Maybe RC wasn't a ghost or a demon, but the echo of every lonely thought she'd ever had given form by her attention. It was comforting in a way she hated to admit, because even if it scared her, it was also proof she wasn't alone. Still, she wanted it gone. She tried cleansing rituals, prayers, salt, sage. Nothing worked. Every time she spoke its name, she felt it closer. Every time she tried to forget it, it found a way to remind her. Once she thought she saw movement in the doorway, a man's silhouette. He didn't come closer, he didn't speak, he just stood there, watching. And in that moment, she wasn't sure if she wanted him to leave or to stay. That's the thing about long hauntings. They stop feeling like intrusions and start feeling like habits. After a while, she stopped calling it. She started saying he. She started remembering the voice from her childhood, the one that used to ask, "Are you there?" And she began to wonder if maybe it had never really been asking her anything. Maybe it was waiting for her to ask back, "Are you there?" Now when the house is quiet, when the night hums the way it used to, she doesn't turn on the lights or reach for her phone. She just listens. Sometimes she hears footsteps over the garage. Sometimes the bed shakes softly, like someone climbing in beside her. And sometimes when she's right on the edge of sleep, she feels a hand brush the hair from her face. Then, just before the dark takes her, she hears it again, closer than ever. "It is me." And this time she doesn't wake up afraid. She just whispers back, "I know."
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.